The Conservative MP Nick Gibb is a former schools minister. He's here in the studio, as is Christine Blower, who's Secretary General of the NUT. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Nick Gibb, first of all, you approve of what he's trying to do with these, don't you?
Yes, it's important to improve the rigour in our GCSE exams. Young people leaving school today are facing a very challenging global jobs market, and they need to be as well prepared as possible. So these exams eliminate controlled assessment, which takes up huge amounts of teaching time and doesn't really assess the ability of the pupils. It eliminates the modular approach to exams, which has resulted in this culture of resits, where pupils in the final year of compulsory education are taking exam after exam as they seek to bank grades and then take it again to get a higher grade. All that will go, and students will take the exam at the end of 2 years. There'll be some coursework for exams like science, where they're examining the practical elements. And in exams like English, they'll be looking at the whole text, not just segments of the text. And in maths, there'll be more rigorous testing of young people's understanding of the mathematical concepts and the algorithms.
Christine Blower, what don't you like about it?
Well, we think this is we think it's slightly rushed, and also it tends to demean the achievements of students who have got GCSEs in the past. Incidentally, you said at the top of the item they're going to be called I levels. I think we've now discovered that they're not going to be called I levels. They are still going to be called GCSEs. So there's a whole range of uncertainty about what is actually planned here. We in the National Union of Teachers think it's regrettable that there will be no coursework, because we think some subjects lend themselves particularly well to coursework. And the other thing is, of course, that it would seem that there is no intention to examine or assess teaching, speaking and listening in the English syllabus, which seems pretty remiss, really, given that doing presentations, good communication skills and so on are really quite critical to young people being able to be successful in the workplace and indeed in life.
What about those particular concerns, Nick Gibb, about speaking and listening, for a start?
Well, the spoken language is an element of, a compulsory element of the GCSE English language. There's just an unweighted proportion of the marks attached to it, but it still will be an important element of the skills that young people need to acquire while they're at school. But what these reforms also do is it focuses on the skills of essay writing. So there'll be more open-ended questions where the skill of writing an essay will be reintroduced. And universities and A-level preparation requires that sort of skill that has been lost in recent decades with all the reforms that have happened under the last government.
Now, Christine Blower, one of your objections is that it dismisses the previous achievements, which surely can't be an objection to changing and improving.
It can't be an objection to changing, but it's the persistent use of expressions like dumbing down that we think are not really acceptable. I mean, the point is that just because more children and young people have been successful, it doesn't mean that that grades have been devalued. What we would be very happy to work with the government.
Do you accept that this would inject more rigour?
I think it may look like that to some people in government. I think it's an open question, really. The fact is that young people have been writing essays, and they have indeed been reading whole books. I did actually check the syllabus of one of the GCSE boards last night before coming in, just to be clear that actually whole books have been on the syllabus of English literature.
Yes, but the teachers are told in advance, we will examine Act 3, Scene 1, whereas under this arrangement, they can be examined on any part of the play. So it's important that they do read the whole play. And just on the issue of a grade inflation, in 1988, 8% of students achieved an A or A star. By 2010, that had increased to 22%. Now, that is a reflection of grade inflation in the system, and it's to eliminate that these reforms have been introduced.
But it may also be a reflection of the fact that teachers are better able to teach the syllabus, and young people are actually working harder in order to achieve those
results. Not to that degree, from 8% to 22%. I think people in 1988 would object to that categorisation.
The previous attempts to change GCSEs founded in large part because the Liberal Democrats didn't like the idea of tiering, where you have less able pupils taking a different exam and therefore in a sense limiting what they can possibly achieve. This addresses that, and so is it more likely to go through? Christine Blower.
Well, of course, there is some advantage to tiering, because if we want to have a system that affords the opportunity for the greatest number of people to engage with the public exam systems, then there is an advantage to that.
OK, but is this more likely to get through than his earlier attempt?
Well, it looks as though there's a significant amount of political will in this, but of course we are expecting that there will be a consultation on it. And as Greg Hurst from The Times said this morning, if we rush things and we don't have consensus, it's less likely that there will be successful implementation.
What about that element of rush? It does seem. I mean, it's the same timing as the EBAC, only it's later.
Well, it's June 2013 now. These exams won't be started to be studied for until September 2015. So the exam boards now will be preparing that exam. Schools will have at least a year to prepare for the new syllabus that starts in September 2015, and they'll take the first exams in 2017.
But we've got into trouble before with the hastiness of, not least with the exams, changing things. Why not just wait?
Well, I don't think this is hasty, but I would be unapologetic on behalf of the government that there is a hurry. Students only have one chance at an education, and we cannot allow year by year to drift by.
And that 2015 isn't tied to the electoral cycle rather than the...
No, not at all. It's all to do with the lead time the exam boards need and the schools need to introduce the new system. We do have to reform our educational system. If you look at what's happening with the teacher training, with the national curriculum, with higher standards of behaviour in our schools, the government is determined to raise standards in our schools so that young people leaving our educational system are as equipped as possible to compete for jobs in an increasingly competitive global jobs market.
Well, I have to say the jury is definitely out about whether the new system for training and educating teachers is actually going to be successful. We do believe this is hasty. The fact is that we could take a longer timescale over this because, after all, it's the government's ambition that young people remain in education until age 18. So to spend a lot of time in rushing through teachers having to spend a lot of time in changing this at 16 doesn't seem to be an appropriate timescale given everything else that's going on.
Christine Blower, Nick Gibb, thank you both very much.